Praise the Lord. This is either the Sabbath day or it's the Sabbath hour that we're celebrating. Which is it for you? Think about it. Are we really going to celebrate a Sabbath? Are we really going to set a day apart for God? Woo! Praise the Lord. Okay, we're good. We're recording. And, you know, there are people that really rely on the recordings because sometimes they can't be here. And then there's other people, they're only getting the message online. There's people that are, we're hitting 30-some countries now and states all over the United States. So I'm praising God for that. You know, I've preached to more people online than I have in the building. Praise the Lord. God is good. As I was preparing for this message, my thought processes were not at all organized when I started. And I started to say, God, what is going on here? Something's not right. When I started to put the notes together and formulate the ideas, they were not flowing in a logical order. And so I had to walk away from it. And it was Wednesday or Thursday. I don't remember which day it was. So I walked away that day. I finished up about 4 or 5 o'clock, which is early for me. And then when I came back the next day, it clicked. Now, in my time of prayer in the morning, that morning, God said, here's the outline. Boom, 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 boom. I had all the parts. They just weren't in an order. They weren't in order at all. And I started to realize that, you know what? This is the way our world is. God has all the parts here, but they've been disordered. It's all disordered. And much of what's in the church today is in disorder. There's not a whole lot of real true order, spiritual order, because Christ is the first fruits. He's the firstborn of the brethren. And we, like Christ, have been given authority to override and overrule everything that the devil throws into this world. We've been given that power. And today, as we look into this message, I'm going to explain again that the phrase, it is written, expresses the authority of Almighty God's Word. It is God's Word that has authority here on earth. And God's people are the people who walk in His authority. Christ Jesus used that expression, it is written, 12 times at least, as far as we know what's recorded in the Scriptures, when He referred to the established Word of God that was in existence up until that time. When Satan tempted Him, Jesus expressed authority over Satan with that phrase, and this is a commanding witness for each of us. Do you have the devil tempting you? Does the devil try to harm you? You can call him out with God's Word. You have the power of Almighty God by the Word of God. And then this series of sermons will equip everyone who hears them to resist the devil and overcome temptation like Christ. We're given that. And the example is very clear. Jesus said, go out and teach them everything I taught you. Jesus said to follow me. Jesus said, keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, you love me. And there's so many other things that Jesus said and taught. And we've somehow lost sight that they're all connected. There's a big picture out there. It's not just this little thing and that little thing and this little thing over here. And so much of the church has become divided. It's been separated. Well, we've got this group over here, and then we've got that group way over there, and then we've got the other ones that are way over here. Doctrinally speaking, as far as the teachings are concerned, they're way in different directions. But you know, the body of Christ needs to come together, and all the people of God are being called together, and they're being called together by His Spirit. And I'm trusting that Almighty God is going to use His people, even those that meet in this building. And I know He's already using some to His glory. And God just brought us a young man, Prior Barry. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, brother. John's going to come out and give you a hand. And Doug will probably play our closing hymn. Praise God. We prayed for a musician. Woo! Praise the Lord. So, we're going to learn several important ideas from this message, and I'm going to just quickly outline them. It's not going to take as much time as it might sound. In the beginning, God gave mankind dominion over everything on earth. And what is dominion? Okay, we need to learn what is dominion. We need to understand what dominion is. Because if we don't understand dominion, we can't operate in it. If we understand dominion, when we know what dominion means, we can be those who are living what it is that we were given to live. And the third thing is that man lost dominion by sinning against God. When we sinned against God, We lost dominion. And the fourth thing is Satan stole it. We didn't just lose it. It didn't just go away. Satan stole it. And when Christ came back, this is the fifth thing, Christ took that dominion. He took the authority. And now He delegated it to His disciples. He received all authority and power. He received dominion. And He transferred it back to mankind. And the sixth thing is, those who follow Christ have received dominion over everything on earth through Christ. And the seventh thing is that we have power over all things, but have been tricked into not believing this truth. That's part of the problem with the church. This is why the church is showing such a weakness in the spiritual realm. Because we've been tricked into believing we don't have the power, when in fact we do. We have been given the power over these things. And it's hard for us. Because for so many years we've been told we don't have the power. That we're powerless. Oh, well, you know, it's just the way it is. Oh, we just can't do anything about that, Pastor. Oh, I'm really sorry. But you know, you're mistaken, Pastor. I've had people tell me, you're mistaken, Pastor. We don't really have that power anymore. That was for the disciples at that time. That was only for the apostles. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's a lie out of hell. And the reason it's a lie out of hell is Jesus sent the 70 out and they weren't the 12 apostles. And those 70 came back saying they were rejoicing because the demons were subject to them. So don't tell me that it was just for those 12. Well, it was only for that apostolic age. Well, then how can we explain the healings that took place before that? Elijah, Elisha, you think of the others, Moses. And then you think about those who came after Christ and His disciples that we have record of that have healed people. Countless numbers of people have been healed by the power of Christ that rules in the body of Christ. There are people today who lay hands on the sick and they get well. And I believe Almighty God's still the same God today as He ever was. And we're going to see that happen. We're going to see God move among His people in that powerful way. We're going to see souls saved because they're going to see those miracles that take place. The main thrust of this series of messages is to show all of us that we have the ability to resist the devil and overcome temptation just like Christ. Oh no, we weren't born sinless. Oh no, we didn't live sinless. But we have the power by Christ through the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation. We can resist that temptation to doubt. We can resist the temptation to fear. We can resist the temptation to believe that somehow we don't have the power that God has given us. We can resist that temptation by going to God's Word, and we can throw the Word of God at that enemy and say, "You're a liar. You're the father of lies. The truth is," and that truth sets us free. I want us to open our Bibles to the fourth chapter of Luke. You'll find that on page 691 in the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 4, page 691 in the Pew Bible. We're going to read the first 13 verses of Luke chapter 4. This is another record of the temptation that Jesus endured. And Luke's record gives us a couple of details that Matthew's record doesn't slide in there. And so I want us to pay close attention today. Okay? Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And before we go there, I want us to pray. Father, again, I ask for unction. God, I ask that You would give me the ability to speak Your Word concisely, clearly. And Lord, help me not to stumble over my words. I ask, God, that You would give me clarity of thought. Open our ears to hear, Father, that we would hear from You, from Your Word, by Your Spirit, through Your power. I pray, Lord, give us a blessing of hearing today. Give us a blessing of seeing today. Enable us, Lord. Empower us. Let us know who we are in You. We are children of the King. We are not children of the enemy. We've been bought. We've been paid for. We're to operate in Your blessings. And so, Father God, I ask that You would give us this, Lord, that we would know without a doubt, Lord, that we would be freed from any and every doubt. I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. And this is what we hear in Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now you'll recall Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. And after He left the Jordan, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. He wasn't tempted just one time. He was tempted of the devil 40 days. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, now, we don't know what the devil said to him during those 40 days, but we hear what the devil said to him after those 40 days. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And when he's telling him to get behind him, he's saying, you follow me, I don't follow you. Okay, he's not saying just to get behind him. He's saying, you follow me. That's the emphasis there. And then the devil brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Almighty God stands over all powers, all authorities, all kingdoms, all governments, all dictators, presidents. It doesn't matter who they are. Almighty God is powerful, and he is more powerful than any of them. He stands over them all. He has all authority. Adam was the first man. God originally gave authority to Adam, the first man. He was the species of creation named by Almighty God and placed in control of the whole earth. It's written in Genesis 1:26 that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Dominion. Let man have dominion. And so I got to thinking, what is dominion? Right? Well, I've got an idea of what it is in my head, but how do I describe that to people? How do I explain it to people? Well, what better way? God's word is the law, right? What better way than to look at a law dictionary? And so I just happened to have one, the Black's Law Dictionary, Revised 4th Edition. And I looked in there and it says dominion means ownership. It means right to property, the right. In other words, if this is mine, I own it. And I have the right to control it whatever way I see fit. Simple, right? Pretty clear. It also means sovereignty. It also means lordship. Sovereignty, same Revised 4th Edition of Black's Law Dictionary tells us sovereignty is the complete, absolute, and unrestrained power of governing, ruling, and controlling. Adam was given the absolute, unrestrained power of governing, ruling, and controlling everything on earth. The sovereign has authority to rule without interference. Mankind was the master of the earth. When man was in the garden, Adam and Eve had absolute authority over everything. But they yielded that authority to the devil, the serpent. It is written in John 10, and verse 34, that Jesus quoted Psalm 82:6. And that's where it's written, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. You see, the Pharisees, the rulers of the religion at the time, they were beating Jesus up with words. He had proclaimed himself the Son of Almighty God. And many people wince when they hear Jesus quote, "You are gods." And some take that to mean, "We're gods." Ah, you know, when you look at it, when you really look at it, he's not saying humans are equal to Almighty God. To comprehend this, we have to look at what the root word for gods, that's what the little g, means. The root word is Elohim. Elohim. And it's sometimes used to refer to Almighty God. But here it means human rulers and judges, like the Jews who were persecuting Jesus at that time. Those who were persecuting, they wanted to stone him for saying he was the Son of God. They said he was blaspheming. It's written in Psalm 82 in verse 1 that God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, the Elohim. The next three verses after that, verse 2, 3, and 4, reveal that he's speaking of human judges, human magistrates, those with the power or control over others, those who have been delegated authority to control the population. They receive their power and authority from Almighty God, who stands in judgment over the whole earth. This is what verse 8 in that psalm tells us. When Jesus referred to humans as gods by quoting Psalm 82:6, he was talking about the ruling authority that man received from the Creator. Very simply, we're not equal to God. We've received ruling authority from God. That's important. It's important to understand. You see, they wanted to stone him for making himself equal with God, but what they missed was that he was reestablishing the authority which Almighty God had vested in Adam. Almighty God had given authority to Adam to rule the earth, and Adam gave it away. He lost it to Satan. But I had to ask, how could the devil promise to give Jesus all this authority? How could he promise him that? It's written, the devil said to him, "All this authority I'll give to you in their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours." The devil was making a promise to Jesus. He said, "Bow down, worship me." He said, "I'll give it all to you. The whole world will be yours." As we go on, we learn that Jesus is called the last Adam. Satan proclaimed his authority over all kingdoms on earth. Now, maybe Jesus didn't accept that he had all authority, right? Maybe Jesus didn't see him as the ruler of the world. Well, we know that Satan received all authority over the earth because Adam received all dominion over the earth in the beginning, and Satan stole it from Adam. Adam lost it to Satan when Adam sinned against our Creator. And you can read about Adam's fall from glory and from power in the third chapter of Genesis. It's all written there. But in case you have trouble believing the devil had Adam's authority, hear what Jesus said as he was preparing to be crucified. Hear what Jesus said when he was preparing to be crucified, okay? As he was getting ready to go to the cross, and this was after the Father spoke from heaven, it's written that Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." And if that's not enough for you, that's in John chapter 12 and verse 31. A little further along, we hear Jesus again refer to the devil as the ruler of this world in John 14 and verse 30. And then in John 16 and verse 11, we hear Jesus again called him the ruler of this world. And the King James Version of the Bible calls him the prince of this world. And praise God, because there's only one king, the true king, the king of kings, the prince of princes, the ruler of rulers, the one who has authority over all kingdoms. And it's not Satan. And this is the good news. It's written, but even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled or hidden from those who are perishing, whose minds, now get this, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. It's referring to Satan. Satan has blinded the minds of the people of this age who do not believe unless The light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine on them. The God of this age. And was it just that age? Or was it this period of time until Christ returns to rule? Ah, yes, now we get the picture. We, as His ambassadors, bring the kingdom of Almighty God here to earth. Now think about ambassadors, okay? You hear these stories of ambassadors. They're immune from our laws, right? They operate in kingdom authority of their kingdom that they come from. They don't operate under the kingdom authority of this kingdom here in this land. And we, as ambassadors of Christ, we're subject to the laws of this land. But we are not subject to Satan's rules. We're free. We've been free indeed because we have the truth. And the truth sets us free. Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever believes in Him, guess what? Everlasting life. In that passage, we heard Satan called the God of this age. It means the ruler. Not God, the ruler. The one who's ruling this age. He's the one that is on earth right now, and we know that we don't fight against what? Flesh and blood. But what are we wrestling against? The powers and principalities, right? The rulers of the darkness of this world. Yeah, Satan rules over the world. But we who are redeemed in Christ have received power and authority by Christ to overrule the devil. We have that power. It's kingdom authority. We operate in His authority and we overrule the devil. He doesn't have that power. He can't hold on to people. Jesus said to go out and heal the sick. He said to go out and heal the lame. He said to go out and cleanse the lepers. He said to go out and cast out demons. He gave us authority to go out there and do these things. He told us to do it. This is one of the things He taught. And then He said to His people, He said, now you go out and tell them what I told you to do. And somehow the church today says, no, that's not for us. We're not supposed to do that. No. Sin brought slavery. Sin brought bondage. Sin brought condemnation. But Almighty God made a way out of Satan's rule with Christ's crucifixion. He said, by His stripes you are healed. Christ dethroned Satan by humbling Himself to the will of the Father. He submitted to the purest form of worship of the Father by sacrificing His earthly life. And many people since then have been called to do the same. Some, figuratively, we sacrifice our lives, whatever lives we might have lived outside of Christ, we sacrifice our lives and we live them unto Almighty God through Jesus Christ in serving Him. And some are actually called to give their life, literally. Christ took back the authority that God had given the first Adam. And then what happened? Satan tried to get the last Adam, Jesus Christ, to bow down before Him and yield that authority back to Him. He tried to get him to bow before Him like the first Adam. He tried to get him to surrender his ownership and authority over everything. But Christ refused. Jesus wasn't drawn away from His position of authority. He maintained His kingship, His ownership, His dominion over the earth. He submitted to the Father. And He resisted the devil. Didn't we read about that last? What was it? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. We saw that Jesus submitted to God. He resisted the devil, and the devil fled. Let me say that together. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Not he might. Not he could. Not that he should. He will flee. Oh, yeah. It is written. Jesus was commissioned by the Father to overpower Satan. And as we've seen, the devil and the rulers of the darkness on earth tried to stop Christ by killing him. But you know, in the one message, the first message that we looked at, they'd have had to kill a whole lot more people than just Jesus to make the message stop from going forward. Oh yeah, he'd have to kill all those people that were healed and delivered and brought back to life and all the witnesses to those things. Oh, but they couldn't do that, could they? Jesus used Scripture as His tool for overcoming Satan's temptations, and so should we. We have the authority to use the Word of Almighty God to bind things on earth, and they will be bound in heaven. That's what the Word says. I believe it. God's Word is true or it's not. And if it's not, throw it out the door. Let's come together and have a party every Sunday morning. Jesus used Scripture, and so should we. In Him we have authority. We have power to do the same. It is written, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, not some, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, do it. I'm going to do it. If somebody comes to the Lord, I'm going to put him under the water. They're going to be buried in the likeness of his death. They're going to be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And they're going to be set free by Almighty God himself through the power of his Holy Spirit. I, he said, have been given all authority. And then he said, go and teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. All things I've commanded you. Not some things, not most, all things I have commanded you. And then we're going to look at some things that he commanded them. Okay, just a couple. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, we're not alone. Jesus said, the kingdom of God, this is written, is like a man going to a far country who left his house and, pay attention, gave authority to his servants and to each his work. Oh, so we have authority and we have work to do? Oh, yeah. And Jesus told us what that is. Yeah. He said he gave authority and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. And he tells all of us to watch. Watch, therefore, for you know not when the master's returning. It's written that Jesus said, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And he says, I give you the authority to trample on and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Not some of the power of the enemy. Not most of the power of the enemy. Not a little bit. Not a whole lot. All. There's no way around that, folks. He delegated that authority to his disciples and he said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Every bit of it. And we've been tricked into believing that somehow we don't have that anymore. Oh no, that wasn't for now. That was for before. That's a lie out of hell. And the devil wants us to believe that lie. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. Does that mean that we're not going to get hurt by the humans that are in this world? That's not true, because we know there are lots of people that have been martyred for their faith. And there are people that are dying even maybe today all across the world. People are suffering for their faith. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about our souls. Our eternal souls are kept by him. They cannot take us out of his hand. It's written, heal the sick. Jesus said, heal the sick. Jesus said, cleanse the lepers, Jesus said. Raise the dead, Jesus said. Cast out demons, Jesus said. He said, teach them what I taught you. But somehow along the line, they stopped teaching what he taught. And they started teaching what they figured was the best thing to teach. And so much of the church is just withered up and dried up and dying because they don't know the truth of God's Word. Can you hear Jesus freely transferred the authority to his followers? Oh, that's right. He said, freely you've received, freely give. You take what he has given and you freely give it to others. And then when your alternator goes bad, he'll replace it. When your battery goes dead, he'll get you another one. When the tire goes flat, he'll bring somebody along. When there's a bolt missing, somebody will come driving up with that exact bolt that you need. Hey, God said I should give this to you. I've heard those accounts of people who have been in places where there was no hardware store, and God brought somebody with a bolt for an old Volkswagen engine that was a certain particular bolt, and that man said, "There's no way I'm going to find this out here." And God brought a guy along that just happened to have those bolts. Now don't tell me we don't have authority. We have authority. Call down upon this earth the authority of Almighty God and operate in it. It's been delegated to you. He made His followers masters over all the things that plague us. Everything that plagues the world. It's written, the one we call Jesus is the last Adam. Yeshua. He's the last Adam. Not the next Adam. The last Adam. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we hear, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." A quickening spirit. And it's written there, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The Lord, the supreme in command, the one that has all authority. The first Adam was given power and authority to rule the earth. He gave it away. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven, the supreme in authority, the one who owns and controls. He owns and controls everything, including us. And if we operate in His kingdom authority, if we operate in the power of Almighty God that's been delegated to us, there will not be anything that gets in the way of His kingdom going forward. As Peter preached when the Holy Ghost was poured out upon the people, he said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The supreme in authority and the Messiah, the Anointed One. God made Him the Anointed One. Almighty God made Jesus the supreme in authority. Almighty God made Him the Messiah. Peter knew he and the others were renewed in power by the Spirit of Christ who had infused them. And I got to thinking, how could I demonstrate that power of the Holy Spirit infusing somebody? This shirt at one time was probably cloth as white as this napkin. And then it was dipped in some dye and it was infused with that color. It's still the same fabric. It's still the same material. But it has that color all through it. And this is how we are when we're infused with the Holy Spirit. We have the power of Almighty God surging through us because God has given them to us. He has given them. He's given His Spirit to us. And we are infused with His Spirit. We have that power. It exudes from us. It comes out of us. The Spirit of God uses us to God's glory. It's not about our glory, folks. It's about God getting glory out of us because that's the only way He can get it out of us is through Jesus Christ who went to the cross, who gave His life so that we might be saved. That's the only way it happens. And we have the power of God residing in us, just like this cloth has the color of blue in it. And that's how I thought maybe I could get a dish and have some dyed water and I could dip a piece of cloth and I could just use the clothes I'm wearing. Oh my. And this is an illustration of Spirit-filled believers. We keep the same body. He hasn't given us a glorified body yet. It's still the same flesh and blood that we were in when we came to Him. But He infused us with His Spirit. His Spirit fills even the molecules of our body. It permeates us. And the more we cry out to Him and operate in His authority, He pours His Spirit on us. We are enriched by His Spirit. He said, "Freely you've been given, freely you will give." And so we give and we give and we give. And I've used the illustration like we're a fire. We're on blaze. We're blazing with the Holy Spirit. And the sparks are flying off of us. And other people are catching fire. And they're taking that fire and they're running off to other people. And sparks are flying off of them. And the fire goes. And that's called revival of God. His Spirit rules in His body. And we're not seeing revival. And why is that? Because the Spirit has been quenched. And we need to stop quenching the Holy Spirit. We need to operate in that kingdom authority that we have. We need to operate in the power of Almighty God that He has infused us with. Peter and the others knew that they had this power. They knew it. They were transformed. Peter, this guy that was hiding. Oh no, I don't know him. Cussing at people. I don't know him. I told you I don't know him. When Jesus was being tried. But then he was transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit that infused him. Remember, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. A new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. It's a new Adam, Christ. And in Christ, we are new creatures, no longer under Satan's dominion. We've been brought out of Satan's kingdom, and we've been translated into God's kingdom, and now we are ambassadors of Almighty God to draw others out of Satan's kingdom. We're His ambassadors with His authority. It's written in Galatians 6:15. I'm going to wrap it up soon, folks. It's written in Galatians 6:15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." In other words, you can be of the family of the Jews or you can be of the family of the Gentiles. It doesn't matter anymore because we're a new creation when we come to Christ. Being created in Christ overrides any previous divisions. He says there's no more Jew, there's no more Greek, there's all one in Christ. Being created new in Christ overrides those previous divisions. And I have to ask again, is God's Word true? If God's Word is true, then let's walk in it. Let's recognize it. It's written in 2 Peter 1:3, "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." All things that pertain to life and godliness. Not death. Not ungodliness. And it's through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. What's that divine nature? Christ. Adam. Kingdom authority. All authority. We're partakers in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Oh, so now that's suggesting that we're not going to walk in sin anymore, right? We can't just excuse our sin. Well, after all, we're under grace, Pastor. We just can go sin it up. No, no, no. You got it wrong. And as we read a little further along, there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, "For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." Be virtuous people. "Add to your virtue knowledge." Be knowledgeable. Learn the Word. "To knowledge, add self-control." Don't let it go the way that it went before you came to Christ. Don't live in sin. "To self-control, perseverance." Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. You have the power of God. You're operating in kingdom authority. You are the ambassador of Christ. "To perseverance, add godliness." If you didn't get it the first time when he said self-control, now he's telling you a little bit tighter. Godliness. "To godliness, brotherly kindness." To brotherly kindness, love. He says, add these things. "For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. Add to your virtue. Add to your knowledge. Add to your self-control. Add to your perseverance. Add to your godliness. Add to your brotherly kindness. Add these things." That's your will being employed to do something. God isn't taking a basket full of self-control and dumping it on you. He's calling you to control yourself. "And if these things are yours and are plentiful," it goes on to say, "you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And what does it mean to know? In the biblical sense, it means an intimate relationship, a connection like the dye in my shirt. You can't separate the dye from the fabric any more than I can, folks. And when we are that interconnected with God's Holy Spirit in us, we are infused with His power and we can't separate from it. We allow Him to work in us. We get to know the Lord Jesus Christ in that intimate way. And now as I wrap this up, I'll remind you that God gave mankind dominion over everything on earth. Everything. Not just some things. Dominion is absolute ownership and control without interference. The devil can't interfere with our control. He doesn't have the authority to do so. Remember, when we have the authority of Almighty God, we can operate in His authority. Mankind lost control to Satan once upon a time. Condemnation came upon humanity by Adam's sin. But Christ restored dominion. He restored dominion. Now remember, where's the kingdom of God? What did Jesus say? The kingdom of God is within you. If we are members of the kingdom individually and collectively, we are part of His kingdom. We are operating as those members of His family, the King's children. Do you think for a moment, if the King gave a directive to His child, and let's just say John's a roofer, okay? I'm going to use John for a minute. John has a boss. He's got a company that tells him what to do. You go on the job, we want this and that and the other thing, okay? Now, when John's on the roof, he sees he needs a piece of plywood. Does he have to call the boss and say, hey, we got to get a piece of plywood? No, he's been delegated that authority. He's been told, get the piece of plywood whenever you need a piece of plywood. He knows that it's already built into his position of authority. He knows I've got to get the piece of plywood. Now, what if they always buy the plywood from ABC Lumber? But today, ABC Lumber is 70 miles away. But there's BCD Lumber 2 miles away. Does John have to call the boss and say, hey, we usually get it from ABC Lumber. Can I get it from BCD? No, he doesn't have to call him. He goes to BCD and gets the lumber, right? Because he has that authority. And whenever he tells the workers, you do this and you do this and you do that, he doesn't have to call the boss and say, can I tell them to do this and do that and do the other? We don't have to ask God for permission to chase away the spirits. We don't have to ask God for the permission to bring healing upon this earth. He's already given us that authority. He's already commanded us to do it. And like the roofer who tells the people what to do, we can tell those demons what to do because we have that authority in Jesus Christ. And there are people who would disagree with me, and I know they will. This is what God's Word says. It's the truth of it. We have that authority. Whenever, Brian, you're taking care of horses, those horses don't behave, you straighten them up. You guide them. You lead them. You tell them what to do. They don't tell you what to do. And the same is true whenever we're operating in the spirit realm. We are telling them what to do. They're not telling us what to do. We don't have to listen to them. We listen to God. And God in His Word tells us that we have that authority. We have that control. We have that power. Those who follow Christ have received dominion over everything on earth through Christ who strengthens us. Remember, I can do some things through Jesus. Christ who strengthens me? No. It's all things. And it doesn't matter what all things are. And there's some people who say, well, that's not the context of it, Pastor. That's not how He says I have control over all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Believers have power over all things. But we're tempted to disbelieve this truth. And I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for people. Well, you know, Pastor, if it's God's will, if it's God's will, I'll be healed. If it's God's will, this will happen. If it's God's will, it is God's will. He doesn't want His people to suffer. He wants His people to be healed. He wants His people to be cleansed. He wants His people to be free. He wants His people to operate in His authority. That's the truth of it. Jesus said it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. This was after He had risen. He's walking on the road to Emmaus. He bumps into a couple of guys that were all down and bummed out because He had died. They didn't recognize Him. And He tells them it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And this is what sets us free. We're set free. We're liberated. We're no longer tied by sin. We're no longer bound by Satan. It's like the boys that got put in the fire. They were bound up and put in that fire. They couldn't move. And they got thrown in the fire. And what happened? The ropes fell off and nothing else harmed them. That's the picture of believers. We've been set free from what binds us. And at the same time, we have the power to bind things on earth and they'll be bound in the heavens. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, it's written, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." In Christ. Not outside of Christ. Made alive. Do you think you're alive if you're suffering on your deathbed? No. But you can walk in the full authority of Christ and be freed. Does that mean you won't ever die? No. Our bodies are going to stop one day. Each and every one of us. Our bodies will stop. But while God has His hand on our lives and we're walking in His authority, we can call that sickness out of our own body. We have the authority. Remember, it's written in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." It is written. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who don't walk according to the flesh. Like Christ, we have dominion. Live in it. Walk in it. And give glory to God. Give all the glory to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word, Lord. We thank You, Father, for the ministers who have come before and all those who are in existence even now, Lord. I thank You for those who have brought Your Word in the fullness of it, Lord, to the hearing of the people. And Lord, I thank You that You gave me unction to speak today. I pray, Father God, that You would take every word that is from You and that You would seed it into our hearts, Lord, that we would operate within the kingdom authority which You have delegated to us through Jesus Christ. Help us to recognize and realize, Lord, that we do have dominion, that we've been lied to, we've been tricked, we've been deceived. But help us to operate in that authority, Lord, that we could lay hands on the sick and they would be healed, that demons would run, they would flee, Lord, because we submit to You and we resist the devil. And Father God, I know that Your Word is true. I've seen too many examples of it. Even if I didn't, Lord, if I had weak faith, I would know because You've shown me through things that have taken place in my life and the lives of others. I pray, Father God, that each one in this room and all who will hear this message would learn that we have dominion. They would learn to live in it. They would learn to walk in it. And that all would give glory to You, I pray, in Christ's name. Let us submit to You, resist the devil, and know that he'll flee. Amen. And now, if you will, let's open our hymnals to number 496. Praise God, we have a young man who's willing to play the piano for us. Number 496. Praise God. And if you can stand, please stand as we sing "Victory in Jesus."
Hi, this is Haley. I want you to visit with us next Sunday.
For those of you who might be interested in helping us to support the ministry, you may send your gifts to Pastor John, care of Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. May God richly bless you.